Welcome to Difference Makers with Devin Dade, a life coach, speaker, and leadership trainer. Devin has the opportunity to speak with entrepreneurs, leaders, people who make a difference in the lives of others.
All right, we have the opportunity to sit down and talk with Keokuk's head coach of the boys basketball team, Julian Say. Julian, go ahead and fill us in on that introduction.
Hey, how are you guys doing? First, Devin, thanks for having me. I feel honored to be asked to be on your podcast and just share a little couple words, little wisdom with the listeners out there. Just excited for the season, excited for to be back in Keokuk and make an impact on the court and off the court with our students and our athletes. So
yeah. Now, the podcast is definitely about difference makers, shakers, and movers. Mm-hmm. And even in our pre-interview, outside of that, just as a person, man, you are a shaker and mover. You're a difference maker. So why is it making a difference is so important to you in your life?
Because I had a lot of people who made a difference in my life. And yeah, it's important to give back and not to give back in order to receive anything, but just to give back in order to see these kids reach their full potential and beyond that. I notice it seems like more so than in the past that a lot of kids just don't have hope and have more people complaining about them than they do encouraging them. And I see so much good in these kids. I see so much strength in these kids. I see so much leadership in these kids. They're just not channeling it in the right way. So it's important to me to give back because, you know, we don't have those front porch talks anymore. You know, I don't have grandpa on the front porch talking to the grandkids anymore. And that's what shaped our country in the past. And that's what shaped our world in the past. You can always think back to those small villages in Africa. Stories were being told. And there are people actually speaking to each other. And that's where I think the growth is at, you know. It's the front lines, sitting down with these kids, taking time with them, making sure they eat, making sure they're taken care of, their homework's done. They come in your classroom at lunch, after school. They come by the house. They get their hair cut. You know, I find any and every way I can to just, you know, have these talks with them that I just feel like they're not getting anymore, just to make them think more beyond themselves and that circumstance they're going through. I know as an adult, sometimes we can get stuck in our circumstance.
Yeah.
So I know these kids, you know, go through it as well. You know, I was a kid once as well. And, you know, when you're going through something, you know, for me, my issue in high school was I wasn't really allowed, given a chance to play. And, man, it was the end of the world for me. It was the biggest thing I ever went through at that time. So, you know, I know these kids now, they're going through the same types of things, and everybody has a big problem. I just want to, you know, maybe help them and encourage them along the way and help them find a little bit more about themselves. Because those, as an adult, you begin to learn that those issues that arise bring emotions to you. And those emotions aren't meant for us to ride for a long time. They're triggers. They're senses to let us know, like, hey, something's wrong. You know, the red light's flashing, address it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these kids are living in that emotion, and it's bringing them a lot of sadness and depression and anxiety and ADHD. I mean, I'm not a medical guy, but I see it.
Right.
I see it right here in the front line. So I just think it's important to be there for these kids. So
yeah, man. And that's why I love having conversations with you, Julian, because you go in. You're a man with many philosophies, but one concrete one, which we'll get to. But what I relate it to, what you were saying, is you're right. Those talks are really not being had anymore, man. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, you're a basketball coach, and I'm a coach, a mental toughness coach. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we strive to do is just open up somebody's mind and make them more aware of what's going on around them, what's going on in them, and not really making a choice for them, but helping them reach the choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leadership. Yeah. And I look back, man, I remember when I was young and I just started baseball. And I didn't get the sport. My coach, he lived like three blocks from me. And you used the word hope, man. And he hoped. He had hope in me. He believed in me that not only was I an athlete, but I was just a good kid. Mm-hmm. And he kind of mentored me. His family took me in. Mm-hmm. And for that, I became a really good baseball player in those seasons that I was on his team. Mm-hmm. And that is a good coach. And so hearing you use that kind of terminology, man, it really makes me feel good that our players are in your hands and that I know during practice you're not just saying run there, run here, but you're giving them the why. Mm-hmm. And you're showing them not how to only apply it on the court, but how to apply it in life. Man, so being a man of basketball, because you're quick, you got the moves, the shot. Tell us a little bit about your basketball experience before we dive into you being a coach. Tell us a little bit about your basketball experience.
Man, if I had to sum up my entire basketball experience in one word, it's funny, I thought about this last night. Passion. I really don't like his game this much, but if I had to compare the way I played, I would compare it to Westbrook.
Okay.
I wore my emotion on my sleeve and I went hard. I was not trying to make friends when I was on the court. I was trying to win. Yeah. I was trying to do everything I could to win. I make zero excuses. I wouldn't allow the people around me to make excuses. I think you can probably see my eyebrows starting to switch. I'm like an old war veteran who has these old flashbacks. But, man, my journey was difficult. I had 8 coaches in 9 years of basketball.
Wow.
Wasn't eligible my 8th and 9th grade year. Got a chance to play my sophomore year. That team had qualified for sub-state, and they threw a party. That varsity team had threw a party, and everybody got caught. So they called up all the sophomores to go play in that sophomore and that sub-state game for varsity. They called up all of them but me.
Yeah.
And I didn't get an opportunity. And I felt like I was one of the best players. I didn't feel like it. I knew I was.
Yeah.
And that's not an arrogant thing. I just had worked on my game. And, man, that hurt. And come back my junior year, I sat the bench the entire year, the last, I think, 6 games. I got asked to play JV, and I begged to play JV. I remember a pivotal moment at Washington High School. And it's funny, last year when I became a head coach, I didn't realize I was in that gym until 20 minutes after being there, but that's when my life changed, sitting in that gym. It's now their middle school gym there. But we were down by 20, losing to Washington, and they had this point guard, I don't remember his name, but he had this high, weak crossover. And I could play defense. I mean, that was like one of my things. And I could steal the ball. And I knew I could just take this ball from this dude, but he was killing us the whole game. And we're down by 20, and coach is walking by, clearing the bench, and, you know, you try to make these puppy dog eyes at the coach and trying to make this eye contact with him so you can get in the game. And he just keeps walking by me, never puts me in the game. And we get blown out. I ride all the way home. And back then it was only 2-lane highway. So that trip from Washington was just a long way. And if I would have blinked on the way home, I probably would have flooded the back of that bus.
Yeah.
I had so many tears just welled up in my eyes. And I remember getting home late and went upstairs and just crawled in bed with my parents, man, and just – bald. I mean, one of those ugly just, yeah, where you fall asleep like 10 minutes afterwards because you just drained yourself.
Yeah.
And my mom is like, well, you know, if it's bringing you that much sadness, just quit, just don't do it anymore. My dad's wanting to go talk to the coach, and as they're saying all this and I'm crying and I'm dealing with my own thoughts, this is when I first heard that voice, that spirit that was left to guide us. And I never forget the words, don't allow a man to take your love away. Don't allow another man to take love out of something that you really love. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that was a constant for me with basketball, is I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I played it 3-4 times a day. Like, I was working at it, like, constantly. I would find tennis balls on my way home at the tennis court, and I would dribble them with my left hand. I would walk in the hallway with it on the way to school, and I'd be dribbling, crossing over. I'd grab a racquetball. Any little small ball I could, I'd try to learn how to handle it, because I feel like if I could handle it, I could handle a big ball. I started brushing my teeth with my left hand. I started eating with my left hand. I started wiping my butt with my left hand. I mean, I did anything I could just to give myself an edge, man. Like, I loved the game. I watched it. Like, I wanted to be around it. And my dad was playing. I was at every one of his Y League games. Like, I just, I had to be around it. It brought me this feeling that back then I couldn't describe. It was love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. it pushed me somewhere. So yeah, man, I heard that voice and I just decided that day I was never going to quit anything, man. And I didn't quit and I kept working. And May of that year, we got a new coach, and I remember he pulled me out of class and handed me a basketball and told me to wear it out and about killed myself, man.
And that you did.
And I did. I did, man. And you know, I can honestly say I had things to work on. I had an attitude issue when I was younger, and I would blame, you know, I would blame the other coaches. I would blame the circumstances that were happening. But when that ball was handed to me, I had a new mindset, and I just stopped blaming.
Yeah.
And was I not given a fair chance at times? Yeah, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Who cares? Nobody cares. Go do it, mm-hmm. and go harder
mm-hmm.
until like they can't not put you in.
Right.
And that's what I just decided to do, man. And we went to state, and for the first time in 28 years, I was all conference and all state, and I had got awards, and all of a sudden a college coach approached me after a game and says, "Do you want to play basketball in college?" I mean, for me and my family, I mean, and I love my parents to death, but our conversation was not college.
Right.
Our conversation was graduating high school and, you know, getting a job and, you know, taking care of your family and those type of things. That's what I've seen in my community, in the black community around it. That's what you see a lot. And the conversation wasn't college and pushing yourself that way. And when that idea was presented to me, a seed was planted.
Yeah.
I can go to college? What? Yeah. You're darn right.
Can I ask you a quick question here? So that, because this is very comparable. The voice you heard was a game changer. And then you can go to college. When this new opportunity was presented to you, it opened up so much. So are those two things are comparable?
100%, man. I go to the parable. You know, Jesus always had these cool parables. Yeah. He talked about the seeds.
He's the best teacher, right?
He's the best teacher, okay. Man. Best teacher. Talked about these seeds. And, you know, before my seeds were falling on unfertile ground. It was falling on the rocks or by the wayside or it's being choked up by the thorn bush. I found my reasons. But when I followed that voice, which everybody hears it.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing is obeying it. The hardest thing is having the courage to take the first step in the right direction that you need to go, and you know you need to go.
Yeah.
But based on emotion, we keep going with what's familiar.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's people who won't challenge us to go in that direction.
Deeper, yeah. Yeah. And it's not their fault. They don't even know how to do it for themselves.
Right.
So my soil wasn't fertile.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've changed my mindset. Like, you know, it's crazy we're having this. Because I talked to my dad last night. I was like, what differences did you notice about me my senior year? Like, not even basketball-wise. He was like, man, off the court, your grades changed. You just, you carried yourself like more of a leader. You just decided you wasn't going to take anything that wasn't what you wanted. Somebody was doing something around you didn't like, you was going to say something. And it wasn't like you was afraid to say it. You just spoke it and you moved on.
Yeah.
They liked it or they didn't. And so my soil became different. So when that seed was planted, when that college coach said something, I could water it now. I had good soil.
Yeah.
I had a seed. Now it was just time to take the journey and to get a little rain and a couple little thunderstorms, and then stuff could start sprouting up. And once you get a little bit of that, man, it's addicting. How do you walk away from that?
Yeah.
Because when you do, then your heart just hurts. It burns for that feeling again.
Yeah.
So I chased that, man. I didn't know anything else. I chased that. That energy, that feeling, that vision, mm-hmm. that seed that God placed in me. And, you know, we sit here today.
Here we are.
Yeah.
So real quick before we go into being a coach, mm-hmm. because I want to dive a little bit, because we're sitting in a classroom. This is actually your classroom. Yeah. So not only a coach, but you're also a teacher. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know that this has to play a lot in not just on the court, but what you do off the court.
January... Well, 2012, January 14th, I was woken up at 4:45 in the morning by the audible voice of God. And my life was really, it took another step, and it's kind of like that ball being handed to me, you know, before.
Yeah.
It was another leap forward, and from then, God basically said, seek me. I was really desiring to be a high school coach at the time. I had interviewed at a few places. I had no high school experience, only AAU. Had a resume of kids that I had helped develop. Had a program that was really good that I was a part of. And I was coming into these interviews with zero experience and making it to the final two. And I had actually, the two times I had interviewed, I had got called in for three different interviews both times. And I had talked to other high school coaches, and they had never heard of people getting interviewed three times.
Yeah.
So what I was doing was throwing a wrench in their whole operation. Because what was happening is I was interviewing and competing against guys who were already either the JV or freshman coach who had been there for 9-10 years.
Right.
And I'm a guy coming off the street who they're like, yo, we got to look at this guy.
Yeah.
And anyway, it wasn't happening. So I got a little upset. So anyway, I woke up with that dream, and I began to really seek. I began to really understand, try to dive into myself more, try to grow more, because I knew if I wasn't getting the job again, we'll go back to not making excuses. I fell into that a little bit and said, nope, not going to do it. There's something in me that isn't ready yet. So how do I get myself ready?
Right.
You grow.
Yeah.
You push yourself to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. And September 2013, I had a dream about being here in Keokuk and being a varsity coach, being a teacher. And in this dream, I was in the form of Joseph in the Bible when Joseph helped save Egypt from famine. I don't know exactly what that form meant, but 2 weeks later, I moved to Keokuk. I dropped everything in Des Moines and said, all right, God, I'll follow you. And as we sit here in my classroom, I'm teaching in the school, a varsity coach of our basketball program, very active in our community, and excited for whatever happens now, whatever comes next. So this is a manifestation of taking my thoughts and my words and my actions and putting them on the same plane and leveling up.
You had to get centered.
Had to get centered.
When does your season start?
November 14th, first practice.
First practice, no, how you feel?
Great, man. You know, people, it's funny, I see people in the store and they always ask me, when's basketball start? And they think I'm crazy, but I look at them and say, when did it stop?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, when did it stop?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't, like, to me, I look at it different, man. Like, basketball is what I get to do. See, most people take their profession and they make it a job. Like, if you really want to be there, like, want to do it. Like, I'm not saying, like, I never say I have to go to practice. Mm-hmm. No, I get to go to practice today.
Yeah.
Like, this is a vehicle that I get to drive to affect kids in a positive way. It's basketball, and I love basketball. Like,
yeah.
I'm one of those guys, I don't even understand people when they say they get burnt out. If you're burnt out on something that you once loved, you're not burnt out on that thing. You're burning, you're firing. There's something wrong with your fire inside.
Yeah. The pilot light went out.
The pilot light went out. You got to get up under that thing and search around and light a match and pull your hand back. You got to go do all that.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about lighting the pilot light? How scary is that? Because the gas is coming out. You got all kinds of thoughts. Like, like, that's a scary process.
And here's another thing for you. If you're loving the thing that you're doing, if you don't grow, that's when the light goes, because you stay stagnant. It gets boring and it gets hard.
Yeah.
But when that passion is there, what happens is that you keep torching that flame. You keep torching that flame. It keeps growing and bigger and bigger. So you're right. When it comes to something you love, something you do, if you're growing in it, it's really hard to say, I'm ready to walk away, or this thing, it sucks at this point.
And now you go even further, is you really have to be centered in your faith, in yourself, in what you're doing. See, I don't coach based on championships.
Mm-hmm.
I will guarantee you this, that'll be a byproduct of what we're doing eventually.
Bingo.
I won't be able to stop it.
Right.
Because of the steps that I'm taking. But I do this for the kids who text me and say, Coach Jake, I come down fourth hour. I got to talk to you about something. Right. The kids who send me these long messages saying, "Coach, man, I really thank you for being there for me." Like, that's the thing that pours gasoline on my fire. Mm-hmm. Winning and losing games, yeah, that's a part of the growth. Like that's where we become sharper.
Right.
That thing that makes me want to dive back in is knowing that these kids is feeling it, knowing that these kids want more of this, knowing. You know, sometimes you wonder if you're too hard on them, but they love discipline.
Yes.
They keep coming back.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of people around. They got people that's willing to punish them.
Yeah.
They don't have people that want to discipline and love them.
Hold them to their greatness.
There's a difference between punishment and discipline.
Yeah, big time. Tell us a little bit about your team this year. Character. Ooh, we'll talk character. Tell us about the character of your team.
That is what I'm most excited about. Mm-hmm. First, I would like to say, the team I have this year will be an extension of the type of character that I had from my senior guys last year. They were good kids. Mm-hmm. Joel and Colton and Sean and Noah, man, just great kids. What I have now with these kids, with Isaac Dunlap and Damon Walter and Brendan Plate and Gavin Thompson, I went and recruited him, who's an amazing football player, obviously. I don't know, most people got to watch him. I'll give you a quick story. I watched him for two games, mm-hmm, and I said to myself, he fits. Like, he would fit in with Isaac and Damon and Brendan and all these guys, because I want good, competitive kids.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a good kid, mm-hmm, who's willing to compete, that's half the battle. That's a life lesson. Yeah. Most people won't get out here and strap their boots up and compete.
Yeah.
They'll fall back and wait for something to happen to them.
You got to have that hunger of when you're done, you leave nothing on the table.
Nothing out there. There's nothing. No regrets.
No regrets.
I tell my kids all the time, in losing, there should be no, mm-hmm, regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should be able to look back and say, man, there's blood coming out of this arm. I had to pick this arm off the ground.
Yeah.
Like, but I walked out. I put everything I had out there. And I know that I grew from it.
We're talking about that real quick. Because I looked at what are some of the top five things that a basketball coach looks for. Mm-hmm. Since we're on the topic, mm-hmm, what do you expect out of your kids when it comes to sportsmanship?
I'm gonna get right back to that. I want to finish what I was going to say about my team. My expectations, yep, for this team this year, mm-hmm, is that we're going to take a step forward in our program, a leap forward. I've always believed that it takes 3 years to change culture. Fortunately, Coach McGackie showed me different.
Mm-hmm.
That man took that football team, an undermanned football team, an undersized football team, and went out there and completely changed the culture of Keokuk football. Possibly the culture of all the boys' sports.
Yeah.
Because we have something to hang on to now. And that guy's a dear friend of mine. And so my expectations are even different now.
Yeah.
Like, I got good kids who I believe can not only build this culture but change it. Regardless of what the wins are and what the losses are, we're going to carry ourselves a certain way on the court and off the court. Chief culture to me is high accountability, high expectations.
Okay.
And not me having that of them,
yeah,
them having that of themselves.
Because you already got the ball rolling.
Because we already got the ball rolling.
And if they choose to make it, then you don't have to force anything, because now it's a want to. And that's a culture.
I get to facilitate. I get to be Mr. Miyagi.
Yep.
I get to be the teacher.
Yep.
I get to give them the paintbrush and walk back in the house and come back out and see what their strokes are like. Because this journey is about them. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many wins I have at the end of 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't care about nobody's Hall of Fame or nobody's. That's not why I coach.
Yeah.
If I coach for that, I put stress on those kids. I don't care about that. It's about them.
Yeah.
Every year, each kid is different. Every year is a whole new world, a whole new opportunity.
Yeah.
So you said the five.
One of the top things were sportsmanship for a head coach. So I want to go back, though, because you said winning, and this is what I like to hear. Mm-hmm. Winning is going to be the byproduct of what happens when you have the right culture and you have the right character manifested by your team.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously started with you, but now they pick up and go with it. You're the facilitator of wisdom and knowledge, giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, man.
Thank you.
But, yeah, sportsmanship, man. What's your expectation of your team for sportsmanship? What does that look like for you since you played on different teams?
I mean, it's hard to sum up, but I would say win well and lose well.
Mm-hmm.
You never accept losing, but there's, yeah, a graceful way to do it.
Yeah.
You evaluate in losses. You decide. You make a choice whether certain things are going to happen again that happened. Are you going to go out that way? You can't continue to lose the same way. You know, if you're missing free throws at the end of the game, you can be hurt. Mm-hmm. But you better tell yourself it ain't gonna happen again.
Yeah.
So now what's gonna be your practice regimen? How many free throws are you gonna shoot in practice? Like, yeah. if you don't want that to happen again, mm-hmm. what steps are you gonna take to change that or to affect that?
Yeah.
So it's a win well, lose well mentality. It's what type of man are you in the community? You know, do I walk into a store and you're helping people carry bags out? Are you helping people with doors? Are you speaking clearly to people when people introduce themselves? Does your eyes go down? Does your handshake? Are you giving them limp fish? What are your grades like?
Mm-hmm.
How do you treat your parents? How do you treat your girlfriend?
Yeah.
There's a way of life to that. But mm-hmm. I would say in the end, it's a win well, lose well mentality. You just carry yourself a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Can I throw something mm-hmm. in? Because I love what you're saying. Because that's a lot of people only look at what you do on the court. If you're a good player, I don't care what you do. But the culture and what you're teaching is that everywhere you go, you have to be present. But you have to be an owner of every situation and every environment. And you're an owner. And so that means you got to adapt it for yourself and make it something good. Mm-hmm. Do you think in the end, when you get to that fourth quarter, that's where everything comes to a head? All that comes to a head fourth quarter because you respect yourself so much mm-hmm. to reach in and go to the next level.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could write up on the board. I don't know if they can see it.
You can.
I don't know if they can see it.
Yeah.
So with our flow chart in basketball, the first thing that matters to us is attitude.
Okay.
The next thing right below that is conditioning. So your body. And then below that, you'll have skills, you know, defense. And then you go offense. But really, those don't matter to me right now.
Yeah.
And these don't matter in life. See, your attitude is going to determine who you're going to be or what you're going to be able to do in a situation.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter. Your conditioning is going to determine. It's going to determine how far you can go
mm-hmm.
or what's going to stop you. So I look at life, I look at everything in life as a fourth quarter.
Okay.
The way you win games in the fourth quarter is based on your attitude, how you handle the adversity that's happened throughout the game, the calls, the missed shots, the fouls, the bumps on the ground, me getting on you, your teammates saying something, people from the stands. What's your conditioning like?
Mm-hmm.
Now, basketball is more, it's physical, but you look in life, what's your mental conditioning like? Like, how many exercises have you done up here?
Mm-hmm.
Because that fourth quarter is going to determine what your outcome is. And you can directly affect your outcomes based on your preparation.
Right.
Poor preparation promotes poor performance, and poor performance promotes pain.
Yep.
It all goes together. So if you decide to not prepare, you're going to have a poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
Poor performance is going to bring on some type of pain. So that fourth quarter to me is everything coming to a head. It's everything you've practiced, everything you've ever read, everything you've ever learned. So you look at the world we live in and say adversity happens.
Yeah.
You have a family member pass away, or you lose a job, or your house catches on fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fourth quarter.
Yep.
How do you put your attitude and your conditioning together to come out of this situation better? Because I know for one thing you can.
Mm-hmm.
You can come out of this situation 10 times better.
Yeah.
But if you decide to stay in the circumstance, your attitude and your conditioning is not right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be worse off because of your lack of preparation.
Yeah. I'm going to say at one point in life, man, I love the demonstration and the attitude and gratitude, because the way I look at life as a, you know, coming out of being an entrepreneur, a leader, is at one point, man, I made the choice to make every day mm-hmm. my fourth quarter. Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I want to put it all on the table. Like, I want
to
be.
Is that because you want an urgency to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want that. I want that energy and effort. So, and then I know
you, if tie
I
tie your shoes different.
Yes.
You walk around the house. You open the fridge different before you walking out of the house. You got a bop to you. It's just an energy to you when it's the fourth quarter.
And you know what I noticed is that in the morning I have some rituals that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I know I need to build myself first before I walk out into the world. Because if I build myself first, nothing can break me down or shake me, only if I let it, right? So I'm an owner of my own presence. I'm the owner of my own outcome, my results. So I can't blame anybody, man. And I love what you're saying, because on and off the court, your players are getting this. Yeah. And the byproduct is the wins. The byproduct is having a packed stadium, right? Mm-hmm. The byproduct is when you go home at night and you lay your head on the pillow and you're like, we lost, but I gave everything I got. But it wasn't about the game, because now I know I need to work on my jump shot, my dribbling, my offense, my defense. Mm-hmm. And you don't look at the win, you don't look at the loss, you look at how can I get better? What do I need to practice on even more? Mm-hmm. Practice makes permanent.
Yeah,
I love it. Practice makes permanent.
Yeah.
And permanent means repetition. Yeah. So I love it, man. That's a really good
thing. Another thing I would say is you play how you live.
Yes.
Like, there's no light switches. If you have a crappy lifestyle, like, that's the way your game is going to be on the court. Mm-hmm. That's the way you're going to perform at your job. That's the way you're going to perform in your marriage. That's the way you're going to perform as a parent. Yeah. That's the way you're going to perform as a person. That's the way you're going to perform as a friend. Like, there's no light switches. Now, you may be able to fake it, mm-hmm. but when the rubber meets the road, it's going to come out.
It does.
Those flaws are going to come out, and we all have flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you minimize those?
Yeah.
How do you recognize those? How do you remove those? And how do you grow from those?
Mm-hmm.
You play how you live.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate byproduct is that I have a bunch of kids who leave this program in 10, 15 years from now are coming back with their families, introducing me to their kids,
right.
Talking about the opportunities that they've created for their family, talking about their faith, and talking about the kids they're mentoring.
Yeah.
One can put 100 to flight, and 100 can put 1,000 to flight.
Mm-hmm.
I want my kids that I'm in contact with to have the same front porch talks that we're having.
Yeah.
That thing went up. To have the same talks that we're having and to build the same relationships that we're building.
And one of the other things that I really like about what you're saying is that with where you're at, is you're saying that Keokuk basketball is not a game. Keokuk basketball is a program.
Yeah.
And you said it earlier, this is a program.
Yeah.
And so when we look forward in the future, because we heard about, you know, coach and your basketball experience, man, what are some of the things that you look forward to personally in your life?
Growth, man. Growth. I am a complete open vessel.
Yeah.
I know I've had a couple visions.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep those close.
Yep.
But growth, man, growth has kind of taken. So basketball used to be that thing that I almost worshipped it. Like, I mean, I almost was that in love with it that it just consumed me. I love it. I still love it.
Yeah.
But growth has taken that place.
Yeah.
My spiritual growth. My growth as a man, growth as a father. I'll tell you one cool thing I started to do with my kids is once a week we get to sit down and they get to give me the yeah, I mean, the whole like, dad, look, on Monday you said this to me, it kind of made me feel this way. They get to give me the true Hollywood.
Yep.
How I talked to them, how I maybe treated them, something I maybe did, some action I maybe had, because like, my house is like, we all need to grow.
Yeah.
And if I'm saying or doing anything, I don't want my kid, like, now I run my house.
Right.
But I want my kids to have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to know how to communicate how they feel. Because if they can communicate how they feel, they're thinking about how they feel. And if they're thinking about how they feel, they'll also learn how to correct it themselves.
Yeah.
That's what the journey, I won't always be there when they need me. I'll be there, but not physically. So they're gonna have to know how to get themselves through situations. So that's my new thing that I've added as a dad that I want to add as a coach too.
Yeah.
Once a week, like, hey man, in the locker room, what do I need to do different?
Yeah.
How was I talking to you in practice? Did I seem a little chippy that day? And if I did, because sometimes we don't even notice it when we're that way.
Yeah.
And if I was, I'm gonna fix it. Yeah. I'm not afraid to look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I've become real comfortable at, is looking in the mirror and checking myself.
Yeah.
So that next step is being able to allow people to do it to me without any emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to look at it and say, is that valid? Yes, let's fix it. Is it valid? No, then let's not worry about it. It won't eat away at me. Mm-hmm. And I don't hold any grudge to that person that said whatever they had to say.
And you know, the best thing about that is that your players, your kids, as far as in that, that improves communication. And even with you and myself, we all need feedback in order, like you said, sometimes we don't know what's going on because we're in the picture. But when you get to take a step back out of the picture, you take out the emotions, the biases, you get to look at information.
Yeah.
Information is going to change the situation. So, no, I love it. And actually, I would every Sunday, we have family meetings at my house. Mm-hmm. So it's whether we do, you know, we play games, we watch a movie. Last week, we went to Dairy Queen and we took Uno. Mm-hmm. Uno to the Dairy Queen. Yeah. And we had our meal and we ate some ice cream and we just had a family talk. And so it is really important to be able to sit down and connect. Because like you said, physically, I know I'm not going to always be there with my kids. But what I do know is that if something should ever happen, when something happens, they'll have my voice always there.
Yeah.
And they'll always know that you have every answer in you because Dad said so.
Yeah.
Dad said so. And my voice, I'm a man of faith.
Yeah.
So I know I'm a vessel.
Yeah, it's coming from God. It's coming from the right spot.
And like you said, but that's what needs to take place in every home, man. Yeah. And I'm not trying to tell people how to run their houses or anything like that, but I know it makes a difference.
See, this isn't towards you, but most people put that disclaimer in there. I'm done with that disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a way you live.
Yeah.
And we can say it to make it warm and fuzzy for everybody, but it's not working right now in our current situation.
Yeah.
It's not working, so we need faith.
Yeah.
And it is bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
But the power is in us, and the power has been given to us. Activate it. Stop making excuses.
Yeah.
Do the right thing for yourself. Do the right thing for your family. Mm-hmm. Do the right thing at your jobs. You know, do the right thing when you're coming in contact with people.
Yeah.
There's never a reason to do the wrong thing. Like, just do right. When it's time to do right.
Yeah.
And it's simple.
And with all the little things.
With all the little things. Every little thing, and it'll lead up to the big thing. So,
yeah,
man. I mean, you people can argue God and all that, but come on, man. The way that the tree blows and the way that the grass grows and you can, the flowers. And man, I had something happen not too long ago. I'll share this with you. I don't know how much longer we got, but I was cutting the grass and a butterfly kept landing in front of my lawnmower. And usually when I cut my grass, it's like my time. Problem is I don't get a chance to cut it very often. I'm not very good at my grass. It's a little high right now. But we'll work on that. But when I do get a chance to cut it, man, I just, mm-hmm. I can go into this place where I'm just there.
Yeah.
And I have these awesome thoughts and just, it's cool, man. And anyway, this butterfly kept landing and then going up. So I kept trying to stop because I didn't want to run over it. Try to be peaceful, brother. I don't want to kill a butterfly. So it keeps landing in front of the lawnmower. So I don't know why I kept a hold of the handle, but I kept a hold of it. And finally, I went down to it. And my daughter standing right beside me. This was so cool about it. And I went down and it's on this blade of grass. And I just took my hand and sat it right beside it. And it crawled onto my hand. And I stood up and it crawled. And so it's on my palm, like on my fingers. And I rolled up to the other side of my hand and went to the back side of my hand. And it just sat there, calm. And I just sat there and looked at it. And then it just flew away. And I turned and looked at my daughter, and her mouth was wide open.
Yeah.
That moment right there tells me how powerful God is.
Yeah.
All that chaos of the lawnmower and life, and I'm holding a butterfly. Who's held a butterfly? I don't know many people that have just held a butterfly that's flying around outside.
Or so aware of that they would. Because life's so busy and so fast, like you said, get out of the way. Move, but I mean, obviously you got conscience, super conscious of what's going on, where you was at, and you just got in tune. Like, but that's a whole different getting in tune.
Yeah,
you talked about one of the tools you use, meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So before we end this though, mm-hmm. and I love that because we're talking about how do you get connected, man. Mm-hmm. Everyone communicates if you connect, and a lot of people talk to themselves, but they don't connect with themselves. Mm-hmm. Give us real quick your thoughts on meditation.
It's not what I thought it was, man. It's not somebody flying on a carpet or la 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 la. It's meditation comes in many forms.
Mm-hmm.
In meditating, what I've learned, it's not for me to tell people how to meditate.
Right.
Meditating is finding a way to just be. We are human beings. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to be. My meditation, my form of meditation is I calm my thoughts. I don't meditate towards anything. I've read a lot of books and seen a lot of things where people talk about, well, if you want money, you can meditate on that, or you can meditate. I personally don't believe that that's the purpose of meditation. Purpose of meditation is your direct connection to God. Mm-hmm. And in that silence is when you can be spoken to. You know, I really began to study the words that Jesus spoke in the Bible, and all the words in red. Oftentimes, he went up to the mountain by himself, you know, and the disciples stayed back and watched. And I just can't help but wonder how often those times may have started in prayer, and somewhere in there, there was some form of meditation where, because Jesus was spoken, I mean, God spoke through Jesus often. And here's the kicker. He spoke through Jesus in crowds of people, mm-hmm. you know, by the riverside. So meditation can happen at any time. Let's be honest, we're meditating right now.
Yes.
Meditation is a form of being mindful of the moment and being present of everything that's going on right now. And yeah. I'm not worried about yesterday, and I'm not worried about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. My morning routine involves meditation. I get up at 4:45. The reason I get up at 4:45, because that's the first time that God, like, he really spoke to me in an audible voice, January 14, 2012.
Yeah.
And that's what I decided to do. So I get up, I say my prayer, and then I meditate. Yeah. And after meditating, I read. I do some type of physical exercise, and then I kind of go on about my day. Yeah. But I spend my time building myself up. If I spend my time building myself up, I'm also building God up.
Yeah.
I'm also, you know, allowing God to put into me. So when I go out into my day, I'm not trying to figure out how to put God into my day.
Yeah.
It's there. I'm walking in it.
Yeah.
So now what I do when I leave the house for my day is, God, I know what I have to do today. I know I have this meeting. I know I have this. Slow my steps. Slow my talk. When I'm going here or there, let me bump into the people I need to bump into so I get the message I need to get.
Yeah.
And I'm not always about what I need to give other people, because mm-hmm. you know what's really cool, man, is when you listen to people, you get so much. I walked Main Street not too long ago, man. I ran into a guy who kept telling me how much of an alcoholic he was, and he was drunk. But man, this man gave me so much wisdom. He was drunk.
Yeah.
This man gave me so much wisdom about Keokuk. We stood right down there by the Heritage Center,
yeah.
and he was pointing to buildings and talking about stuff and where his dad worked, and talked about how this was built and the fireproof this, and he talked about the little time capsule that's down there, and he was just giving me knowledge, and I'm just sitting there like, thank you, God. But so many times we're so willing to push those people away.
Yeah.
When Jesus didn't do that, he didn't do that to those people, the tax collectors and all, you know, the people that were looked upon as bad at that time. Anybody can be used by God at any time if we're conscious and aware.
And allow it.
Yeah. So meditation has become a big part of my. It's a big part of my life. I have a timer on my phone. I do it at morning. I do it at noon.
Yeah.
12 o'clock noon every day.
And so, you know, some people say my life is super structured, man. And here's one of the things is that, you know, I have ADHD, mm-hmm. which that's a man-made thing.
Yeah.
This is what I know is I'm super active. I'm super energized. So yeah. It's just like I'm on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And one thing. And I love it that what you're saying is that at one point in my life, I knew I had to slow down and get my thoughts collected. And now I'm just good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do that in the morning. And when I do that, after I do that, then I go and I get something to feed that conscience. Mm-hmm. So I'm so aware, so I can take whatever it is and I get to chew on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get to put whatever mm-hmm. he thought, whatever he said, she said, it said, I get to put it into my own words and my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I can deliver it somewhere throughout the day. So I collect stuff so I can, but I'm so well at it now that I can be in a crazy, chaotic, mind-blowing spot and I can find peace.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get there, mm-hmm. like you said, I'm super connected with mm-hmm. with God, and I'm super connected with my thoughts, mm-hmm. and I make better choices.
Oh, because you're led. But see, now you're making choices based on your purpose.
Yes.
And who, not only who you are, but who you're becoming.
Yep.
I believe by us being, you know, some people always say, I'm not where I'm at. But I believe that we are where. I believe that some people say, I'm not where I want to be.
Yeah.
I believe we're always want to be if we are where we're at.
Yeah.
If you're present where you're at, you'll be who you want
to
be.
You're where you're supposed to be at right now.
It's going to get you there. You know what I used to do? So when I first started learning how to meditate, and it was during basketball season 2 years ago, I would go sit by the band. Wherever the band was playing, I would sit right next to the band. So I had that commotion, and I wanted to try to clear my thoughts. And I went in all that noise and chaos. I wanted to do that. Doctor's offices, everywhere I went,
isn't that
I would
neat? Do it. I would, it's almost like the Matrix, because you watch and you hear. Like, you see people doing actions, but you hear their actions.
Yeah.
And it's very powerful. It's very impactful. Yeah. Julian Say, I'm gonna say it. Coach Say, I don't think I ever called you Coach Say, man. I like it on you. You look good with it, only because coach means making somebody consciously aware of what they're doing so they can make better choices. And a true leader goes and walks beside somebody and says, let's go, instead of standing before them and saying, come where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Love it, man. Hey, I can't wait to have you back on this somewhere through halfway through the season. And I want to bring you back on the cast. I want you to talk a little bit about where your team's at, what you've been up to. And I'm going to say like this, man. I really consider myself a thought leader. And I'm definitely going to – I'm just going to crown you with that, man, because you are a thought leader. And somehow we need to merge and we need to get on a different vehicle to have more conversations like this, because it's needed, man.
I agree.
And, hey, one last piece of advice. You gave so much. I think I should probably cut you off. But one last piece of advice for our listeners, for the teens, for the parents, man. Hey, for those out there who's not making good choices but they don't have the courage to make the right one, one piece of advice to leave out on.
I'm gonna keep it simple, man. I feel like I feel like we've been all over the board. We've been to the moon and back. Don't quit, man. That voice that I heard that day changed my life, and it's cliche, and people use it the wrong way. No different than they use the word love the wrong way. But just don't quit. You're at where you're at.
Yeah.
Don't quit, and work on your mind. Guard yourself from the people you hang around. Guard yourself from the images you watch. Guard yourself from the music. There's a difference between living in fantasy and reality. But again, I'll say, just don't quit, man. Circumstances are circumstances. Mm-hmm. They're just it. When you read the first page of the book, that doesn't tell you the whole book, and the book's not done. That circumstance is one page of your book. You're being written every second.
Yeah.
Don't quit. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If you ever hear anything I ever say, just seriously, don't quit. Be in the moment. Engulf yourself in whatever's happening. Choose to take growth from it. Choose to have a strong mindset. Choose to surround yourself around love and good people and support. Choose to grow your faith. And, man, you'll go places that you never, ever, ever thought you would be. And you'll touch people that you never thought you would touch. So, man, Devin, thank you for having me on. It's an honor to share. It's an honor to hear your words too. I thank God for the opportunity, and man, I just I wish many blessings upon you in this journey, man. It's real and it's solid, and it's what people need. We may not be able to get on the front porch, but we can sure hit them in their headphones.
We definitely can.
We can sure hit them in their headphones. So,
and I'm not going to wish you the best this season, man, because I know what you guys are doing is going to be great. And it, like you said, you're not building one season, you're building a culture. So I'm going to say, man, until next time.
Yeah.
And definitely I'll be at your games to support you. I look forward to it. Energy, effort, enthusiasm. I know you guys will bring it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for listening to the Difference Makers Podcast. Drive, develop, and deliver. Make excellence a habit. Be the change. See the change. Tune in next time.